Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
All fathers are intimidating. They're intimidating because they are fathers. Once a man has children, for the rest of his life, his attitude is, the hell with the world, I can make my own people. I'll eat whatever I want, I'll wear whatever I want, and I'll create whoever I want.
Man, is that the truth, Uncle Milty? Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Happy Father's Day coming up here to all of you great men out there supporting your families and just being good men. And I really appreciate you. Uncle Milty, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
My husband, my dad, my father-in-law, you know, all the good men in my life. I'm surrounded. I am surrounded. What a lucky gal I am. So welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're on board today listening. And I just, what a crazy show today. It's so just off the beaten path because I could not talk about the BLM or masks one more time. I just couldn't do it. And so I asked a couple of guests to come on the show today that I just think are so cool. And I'm so glad to have John Walczak on the show because you have a new podcast, John, called Missing in Alaska. I love this.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. It's about these two congressmen who disappeared in Alaska in 1972 and I've spent the last 9 years digging around trying to figure out what happened to them.
Wow. What got you interested in this in the first place? Because I love these podcasts. They have these now that they kind of unfold and they keep everybody really captivated. And that's what this is, Missing in Alaska story, because this is a true story. It's a true story, 1972, October, plane went down in Alaska, two politicians on board, Boggs and Nick, what's his last name?
Begich.
Yeah, Begich. And what got you on this story? I mean, this is from 1972.
Yeah, so I've been doing it for 9 years. Uh-huh. I'm only 31, so uh-huh. I'm still a relatively young soul, so most of my adult
right.
life.
But, right.
So yeah, I'm a kind of a politics nerd, history nerd, and when I was looking at a list of Wikipedia disappearances one day, and I saw that there were these two congressmen who disappeared on a small plane in Alaska, and I was kind of like, how have I never heard of this before? It's such a captivating thing to see, and I started looking, and nobody's ever written a book about it. Nobody's ever really done anything more than just, you know, like a quick TV special. So I started down the rabbit hole that way.
Wow, and it is when you go down the rabbit hole. I've been there many times over the last decade. I'm telling you, you just keep going because you get onto stuff, and so you've got to just go down just to find these details. And so, is this one of the strangest stories you've ever heard?
I think it's the strangest story I've ever worked on, for sure. I mean,
wow.
It's, you know, I kind of stumbled into it. I just started researching it because it was interesting to me. And,
you're a journalist. People should know that. Journalist.
Yeah. It's, so I'll say we get into it in the show, and we're still in the middle of airing and of production. So, you know, one of the things is I know what I know now, but we've started to have a good number of people contact us. So I'm curious to see what we learn. But,
you know, I didn't think about that.
If I were to pitch this show to you and tell you that, so, you know, these two congressmen disappear. It's the biggest search in American history, 325,000 square miles. You know, you have mysterious radio transmissions that may have come from the plane. You have all these leads that come in. And one of the big things, too, that I look at is that, you know, there are a lot of conspiracies around this story. So Boggs was a member of the Warren Commission. And so a lot of people ask me, do you think he was killed? Do you think somebody did something to the plane because of Boggs? And, you know, there is a very serious allegation of foul play, but it's not what people would expect.
Ooh, okay. Uncle Milty has a question for you.
Well, I sure. think something that struck me is that after all these years, they still haven't found any clue at all of where this plane crashed or anything, right?
That's wild.
So
yeah, and you know,
that's unusual.
It's interesting, and that's a good thing to point out because most people that I talk to about this, they, you know, you hear small plane, you hear Alaska, and you just, you know, your eyes glaze over because it's unfortunately it's just all too common up there for planes to go down in bad weather for whatever reason. But I found something. One of the things I found interesting at the time is that an Air Force official stated that they found 95% to 99% of what they were looking for at the time. So even in 1972, I mean, I think of the previous 1,200 crashes prior to that or disappearances, they found all but three of the missing planes.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
that's wild.
Yeah, and you know, you would think 50 years later or something, because there are other cases right. that the planes have gone down in even more remote areas, and even decades mm-hmm. later, like, hikers will find a piece.
Or, yeah. What about our technology? Like, I mean, our technology alone, you think you could find something now like this, right? Maybe not.
Yeah, and so one of the fascinating things, and I can't say too much because we're not mm-hmm. there to that episode yet, but I got a very, very strong lead about where the plane may have crashed.
Interesting.
And so I will tell people that if they listen to us, they'll hear us go to an island in Alaska a little bit later on, and we use some really cool technology to look for the plane.
Wow. What were some of the mysterious, like, what got you thinking, ooh, there's something here? I mean, was it the radio transmissions? What was it? Or the people that were involved?
That was the very first thing that really kind of piqued my interest. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting story, and it was also an interesting time. I mean, it was the height of Watergate. I mean, Vietnam.
Yeah.
It was just a very cinematic moment in American history. And, you know, I saw the radio transmissions. There were these ham radio operators in Northern California who, the night of that the plane went down, they heard a transmission, and somebody claimed to be the pilot. So there was this whole thing, like, was it the plane? Did they pick up like a ham transmission, an emergency mm-hmm. transmission? So that was the very first thing. And then I think one of the craziest things, you know, that I found is that the widow of one of the missing men, married a guy with mafia ties. And that guy later told several law enforcement agencies that he transported explosives to Alaska and that the plane had been bombed.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that would get me going down a rabbit hole. Whoa. Was any of this tied in with Watergate? See, Watergate happened in June of 72, right? June of that year. So this was October. Were there any connections with that? Like, somebody knew something, or they had to get rid of him in that way?
You know, so one of the things that people point to, other than the fact that Boggs was on the Warren Commission, mm-hmm. is that he had an ongoing feud for a long time in the early 70s with J. Edgar Hoover.
Mm.
And so I think it was in 71, he went on the floor of Congress and he accused the FBI of tapping his phone. He called for Hoover to resign, and he called the FBI the Gestapo. And
mm-hmm.
so obviously,
yeah.
Hoover's not somebody you want to make an enemy out of.
I don't
think
so.
That said,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, Watergate was going on, but mm-hmm. Hoover died in May of 72. So unless it was Hoover's ghost, I don't think it was Hoover.
Right,
and,
right. Crazy.
You know, it's just one of those odd random things that is
right.
tied into this story.
Okay, Uncle Milty.
So Hale Boggs uh-huh. had a kind of a famous daughter, Cokie Roberts. Did you get any information out of anything she said in her lifetime after this happened?
Yeah, so I never had a chance to speak directly with Cokie. I've
mm-hmm.
spoken with members of the family. Cokie, to my mm-hmm. knowledge, didn't really like to discuss this in public too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only find two clips of her discussing it in interviews. One of them was after MH370 went down. She was asked about it on cable. But
mm-hmm.
Nothing directly from her. I will say one of the interesting things that I had a chance to do is all of Hale Boggs' papers are archived at Tulane in New Orleans, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to go through them. And that was absolutely fascinating because, you know, they had original Warren Commission papers. They had,
mm-hmm.
During the Cuban Missile Crisis, Boggs was fishing off the coast, I think of Florida or Louisiana. And to get him back to D.C., they dropped a note in, like, a bottle down to his boat saying, like, you know, you need to get back to D.C.
Jeez.
So I had a chance to kind of handle some really cool historic documents.
Tulane is a kind of an interesting place, don't you think? Because I've gone down the rabbit hole on a couple different stories where it involved Tulane. Interesting. Yeah? They're the holder of a lot of records.
I'll tell you something else that's fun about Tulane in particular. So
uh-huh.
You know, I've worked on this for 9 years, but obviously I needed to do something to pay
sure.
the bills.
Sure, yes.
So
yes.
I worked actually for 3 years from 2016 to the end of 18 for this place called TUBRI, the Tulane University Biodiversity Research Institute.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's a mouthful, but what it is it houses the world's largest collection of fish. So 8 million fish specimens in jars. And they're stored in these old World War II bunkers on the Mississippi River on the edge of the swamp. So very horror movie-esque.
I can only imagine. That's so crazy. I know they used to do a lot of experiments at Tulane in the 50s, you know, and if people are with me on that, they understand what kind of experiment, a lot of brain experience, a lot of just crazy stuff happened in that area. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure there's any city in America that has a crazier history than New Orleans. So
I don't think so. I don't think so. But has it been fun for you? I mean, when does this start? Missing in Alaska.
The show?
Yes.
Yeah. So we dropped the show starting on May 20th.
May 20th.
We are still in production and we're still
delivering
episodes right now.
Okay.
So we just released the main episode this Wednesday, and then actually today we released a bonus, which is the private investigator's report.
How do people find this?
I like the format of podcasting because it's kind of open-ended. So if we find new information or if people reach out to us, we can continue.
Very cool.
I would say in perpetuity, but I'm going to stop at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much, but I love this. I mean, will you take on another mystery after this?
I'd love to. I mean, I've always loved investigative journalism. I really like history. You know, I think that one of the pieces of feedback that I got initially when I started to pitch this as a story to try to partner with somebody, a lot of people said, well, there's no ending. Like, we like the story, but there's no ending. And I think that's a mistake. I mean, I think that some of the most fascinating stories...
Isn't this how you get an ending? Because look at all the information you're getting. You know what I mean? Might be how you get an ending. This is what happened with a Utah case. I'm in Utah, and even though we have guests all over, and there was a Utah case like that everybody was following, and there's no end there either because they never found her. But at the same time, I mean, my gosh, you can probably get more tips than that. We got 20 seconds. How can they find the podcast?
People can listen to it on the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts or wherever they get their podcasts.
Okay, that is awesome. I'm looking forward to this because I'm like you. I like investigative journalism. This is all I do is go down the rabbit hole. And I like a good story that just sort of keeps developing and little twists and turns. So very interesting. John, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you. This is great.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Man, too fun. All right, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I believe in the product. I really do. Everybody thinks I'm crazy, friggin' snake oil and all the rest. But I'm going to tell you something. I've taken all the snake oil out there, and you're right. Most of it doesn't work. But this stuff does work. There's no doubt about it. I've noticed a big difference in my mobility. You know, things that I didn't think were going to be possible a few months ago are possible now. And I try to sell it to everybody in my family. Thanksgiving, Christmas, everybody comes over and says, oh, you look great. I said, yeah, I'm taking this new stuff, Balance of Nature. So if you want to use me as a commercial, I'm a good commercial for this. This works. It really does work.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.